questions. Do we meet or don't we meet? If we do meet, then we might be considered unkind. If we don't meet, then we also might be considered unkind. Because if we meet, we're risking everybody's health. If we don't meet, then, you know, are we trusting God? And so I think the issue is that it's a catch-22. That's the awkwardness of it all. There's this, well, if you do or if you don't, it's maybe not the best thing. And so here's the thing that I have posted this morning on Facebook and that I've shared with some folks. We're not asking God for a miracle when common sense will work. If we wash our hands, if we keep some distance, and if we are careful with what we touch and where we go, and we limit our interactions, we're going to be healthier. At the same time, we should ask God for a miracle. We should pray and ask God to heal and to cure and to remove this virus, not just from our land, but from the world. And that's how we should live our lives, in a constant presence of awareness and wisdom, and also sensible practicality while expecting God to do miracles, just looking for what God's going to do. So that leads us into what Jesus. We're talking in Mark chapter 12, and we're going to look at how he was caught in a catch-22, because later they sent some of the Pharisees and Herodians to Jesus to catch him in his words. They were trying to trap him, and the topic this morning is, should you pay taxes or should you not pay taxes to Caesar? And we'll get to that in just a minute. But first, we've changed it from pay up, the title this morning, to caring for others. Because in recognizing the legitimacy of paying Caesar's taxes or paying the government taxes, there's also a care for others that is provided in that. And so we'll deal with that as we get going. Mark 12, 13 through 17 is where we are this morning. And we've been focused on being more like Jesus. Our lives are wrapped up in living more and more like Jesus. If we have given our life to him, we are saying, I commit to grow more and more like Jesus as long as I'm alive. And so this is part of that, that Mark was, how do we say this? He was as if he was running a marathon, but in sprint fashion. I mean, the man went the whole way through Jesus's life as fast as he could, telling as many stories as he could for one reason, to help us see that Jesus is the Son of God. And he says that right at the beginning, in the very first verse. But the whole way through the book, nobody else says that until the very end, when the Roman guard watching Jesus die says, oh, he surely was the Son of God. And so the rest of the book is an invitation asking us, do we believe? Are we saying this is the Son of God? Or are we saying, well, he's a political figure, he's a teacher, he's a good guy. What do we say of Jesus? It's really important. So this morning we recognize that we're joining into a story that's already being told. We're jumping in where it's continued, where Jesus has already entered the city. There's been this huge awareness of he's coming, he's the Messiah, he's the one that's going to free us from Rome. And he had to teach some people some hard truths about all of that. And he did that, we taught last week, by dealing with a fig tree and dealing with the temple. He cursed the tree, it withered. He stopped the sacrifices in the temple as if to say, hey, this is all going to come to an end sometime. And so he's still teaching. He's continuing to teach. And he meets people wherever he goes, telling them about what's going on and that the kingdom is coming. The kingdom is coming is one of his frequent messages. So here we are again. Later they sent some of the Pharisees and the Herodians to Jesus to catch him in his words. Now this is the interesting thing. Pharisees and Herodians, two groups that don't like each other, that are going to challenge each other, that are going to, I mean, they're at odds with each other. But because they're trying to catch Jesus, well, hey, let's partner up and trap him. And so the Pharisees are against Rome. The Herodians side with Rome so that they can keep their power, and they come to trap Jesus. They came to him and said, teacher, we know that you are a man of integrity. Well, yes. They're kind of, you know, boosting his ego, encouraging the crowd, trying to build up a moment of tension, and they're doing a good job, but they're also telling the truth. that Jesus is a person of integrity. And they say, you aren't swayed by others because you pay no attention to who they are, but you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. And there's some recognition of fact there, but they don't like how he teaches anyways. And so pumping up the crowd also, is it right to pay the imperial tax to Caesar or not? Should we pay or shouldn't we? That was a huge deal. For one group, they said you should never pay. Never pay Rome, because there are our overlords, if you will. They're destroying us. They've put us under their thumb, and you know, the image of Caesar is on that coin, and he's bad, they're bad, everything's bad, don't pay the tax. And the other group goes, no, you have to pay the tax, because otherwise we don't have any power, and we're all going to be trampled and just destroyed. And so should we or shouldn't we? And it's a catch-22. But Jesus knew their hypocrisy. Why are you trying to trap me? He asked, bring me a denarius and let me look at it. So he takes the coin in his hand and looks at it. And what does he say? They brought the coin and he asked them, whose image is this? And whose inscription? Caesar's, they replied. Then Jesus said to them, give back to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's. Now, what was Jesus doing there? What really happened in that moment when he said, give back to Caesar what is Caesar's and give to God what is God's? Is he saying you should pay your taxes? Is he saying there are two kingdoms? There is the physical and there is the spiritual. And oh, look, Caesar is the physical and God is the spiritual. And what do you do with that? I think it's bigger than that and much greater than that. I don't think Jesus is setting up a dichotomy of any kind. I think he's bringing them together. And he throws it back to the group and says, will you or won't you? As I've studied languages, the thing that I see is in many languages, you can make the same statement, and it depends on the inflection of your voice of whether it's a question or not a question. And in some sense, that's a question. But it's also a great big statement, which we'll get to in a minute. And they were amazed at him. They were shocked. They were amazed. They were stupefied. They didn't know what to say. They didn't know how to say. They had no way to respond. And here's the deal. Some people were happy, but these guys, they were not happy, because they knew they were trapped like Jesus, like they were trying to trap Jesus. And so happy because the crowd goes, ooh, good move. Well done. But did they really get it? And here's the thing. This is the coin of that time. This is the denarius. This is the little tiny coin they're looking at. And what's the inscription say? Well, on the heads side, we'll call it, is Tiberius Caesar, divine Augustine, Filius Augustus, which means Tiberius Caesar, son of the divine Augustus. You'll remember that when we've been teaching this, and those watching at home, well, you can go back and on our website, listen to all of these, or we can just talk about it for a minute here. But we've been saying this from the very beginning, that everything that Jesus is claiming for himself, this is what Caesar claims. Son of God? Caesar is saying right here, son of the divine? He's saying he is the son of God. And Jesus says, I am the Messiah, the chosen one. And that is a term Caesar applied to himself. So everything Jesus is saying is political and incredibly spiritual at the same time. And he is challenging the rule of Caesar, but in a kind of underhanded, not underhanded, that sounds awful, in a very interesting way of undermining, that's the word I'm looking for, undermining it by just saying, yeah, I'm also the son of God. Well, no, I am the son of God. You aren't. And so this is the front side of that coin. The back side of that coin is this, Pontifex Maximus, which means high priest. So here he is saying he's the son of God and the high priest. He is claiming, Caesar is claiming to be the spiritual and the political leader of the world. And Jesus is saying, he's not. He's not. So the question is, what do you say? Is Jesus your political leader? Is Jesus your spiritual leader? Is Jesus just your leader, period? That's the challenge. And this is why many countries around the world don't want Jesus taught, because it challenges that leadership's authority. And that is a powerful thing. If we all say, I give my life wholly and completely to Jesus, I'll do anything for him. Ooh, the state can't control you anymore. They can't keep you down because you're willing to risk your life to tell others about Jesus. And that is powerful. So here's the other big deal. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. What that is saying is that every human being that has come since the time of Adam and Eve has all been made in the image of God. So if we are all made in the image of God, is Caesar made in the image of God? Yes. If Caesar is made in the image of God, and Jesus says, hey, give to Caesar what's his, you have to go back and say, hold on, that image, whose image is that? It's the image of Caesar, which is the image of God. Now that's awkward, because that is exactly what Caesar is claiming, that he is God, that he is at least the Son of God. But Jesus is saying, no, 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 you might have the image of God, but you're not God. I am God, my Father is God, the Holy Spirit is God, and this God that you are claiming to be, you don't even compare. And we see this also because if you back up one chapter, in chapter 11, he says, go and get that colt and tell the one who's watching it that the owner has sent for it. That tiny little verse that seems like nothing, Jesus is saying, the whole world is mine. I am the king of all. It is all mine. And he's saying, that colt, that tiny little colt that I'm going to ride in and everybody's going to scream and shout, Hosanna, praise the Lord, you're here, the Messiah has arrived. That's mine. Just like everything is mine. When he goes in the temple and stops the sacrificial system, he's saying, I have authority to do this. And just after that, the chief priests are saying, whose authority? By what authority do you have? And Jesus again flips it on them and they can't deal with it. And then Jesus tells a parable about at the end of chapter 11, at the beginning of chapter 12, Jesus teaches the parable of the tenants, where he talks about this idea of the landowner has rented out his vineyard, and he said, hey, you guys take care of it, and I'll come back in a little bit and collect my due, and we'll keep doing that because it's rent, right? And so they say, oh, he's been gone a long time. We don't need to pay any due. And so what do? A messenger comes to collect, and they kill him. Another messenger comes, and they kill him. And then the owner says, I'll send my son, and they kill him too. And the Pharisees and the leaders, the chief priests, all knew that this was told against them. And then this story is the next story, the story of should we pay taxes or not. And so this is all set up in such a way as for us to see clearly, hopefully, that Jesus is claiming to be the Son of God. And that in no way is he saying Caesar is. He's saying the image on that coin is the image of God because all humanity is made in the image of God. So if you pay to Caesar what is due to him, because while his image is on it and he is the ruler of the land, he is responsible to God for all that he is, and there is no other higher authority than God himself. And so, there is only one kingdom. While there are tiny little kingdoms on this earth, there is one kingdom. It is the kingdom of God. And so, we come back to, he created them, male and female. And the challenge for us is, how do we take this and understand it in our world today, where in America at least, we don't have this oppressive regime, if you will. I mean, we have a government, and it has to do what it has to do, and some of us don't like it, and some of us like it, and it depends on who's in charge, la, la, la. You have a king, though. Your king is Jesus. We have a president. We have local authority. We have all this stuff. We should render to them what is due them. We should pay our taxes. We should take care of our responsibility to the civil government around us, right? But this is where I want to get into our faith challenges. This is where I'm wrapping up. The sermon's almost over. And I remind you that these have been my opinions. These are the things that I've studied. I fully believe them. Otherwise, I wouldn't be teaching them. But at the same time, you might have a different take on this.
And you can hold these two things in one in one hand and one in the other and weigh them out and see which one makes more sense. And then go back into Scripture and work it through in your life and in your daily life with one another and see which one should I hold on to? Or should I hold them both in tension for a while? Because that's okay. So these are my application points, though. These are things that may or may not fit you. If they don't fit, that's okay. Pray, and the Holy Spirit will guide you to better ones. He'll give you better than I can. I'm sure of it. But first one is pay up. Our original title was pay up because we all have to pay our dues. Not just taxes, but whatever other societal agreements we have, you need to pay your bills, right? And at the same time, we have a life bill, a bill that comes with a body. We are responsible for what we do in our body and in this life. And when the judgment day comes, we're going to pay up. But you can pay up now. You can pay in advance. Did you know that? And you get a better deal, a much better deal. If you pay in advance, it's not just 10% off, it's 100% free. You just give your life, and Jesus gives you his, and look at you. You're made righteous. You're made good. You're made 100% whole in the eyes of God. And that is the best deal ever. So give yourself back to God. And that's the whole message of that. Next is two, the 30-day challenge. Now, here's the reason I bring this up. My children don't have to go back to school for 30 days. And I think in that 30 days, we could do some amazing stuff. What can you do in 30 days? Think about it. Some of you are retired. Some of you are forced to take a time away because you can't work from home, but you can't go to work. Some of you are having to go to work, but then outside of that, your life is very minimal because you're told by everyone around you, what are you doing? You're not supposed to be out doing this. You're not supposed to be doing that. Everything's canceled, right? The NBA, the NHL, all the major sporting events, the NCAA, March Madness, and almost everything. Disney World even shut down. Isn't this crazy? But what could you do with 30 days of freedom? What could you do with 30 days of freedom? Here's what I want you to think about. There is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. Now, this is not a judgment. If you're afraid, if you have some anxiety, that's not what this is about. This is saying, let's live like God is here with us because he is. Let's live like Jesus is living within us because he does. And let's live like the Holy Spirit is guiding this. Whatever this is, he's going to deal with this and he's going to use it for his good. So let's take 30 days and do something incredibly different. Do you remember the movie Life is Beautiful? You don't? You need to see this movie. If you have not seen this movie, you've got to see it. Okay, so this guy, I don't remember anybody's name, but this is the dad, this is the mom, and this is the son. Something happens to the mom, she's not in the movie. The dad the Nazis come in, take over, right? And the little boy is protected by his father continually, hidden, run through here, run through there, and they make it into a game, and the son goes along with his dad for the whole time, and it's a blast, and for the dad as well. Now, at the end of the movie, there's some bad stuff that happens. The whole way through the movie, there's bad stuff that happens, but he uses it in a way that's wonderful, and that movie just makes you want to cry because it's just beautiful, and it's a powerful game and a powerful movie of what can happen when you don't live in fear. And that's what I want you to think about. If you quit living in fear, what could you do? How could you serve others? Now, initially, my 30-day challenge was, let's come out of this thing healthier physically than you've ever been. So instead of going home and sitting on the couch and watching Netflix and YouTube and whatever else you do, what if you took some time every day to exercise? You know, throughout previous flu epidemics, they said, hey, you need to go outside. The sun is good for you. It helps to kill the virus. And if you exercise a little and you're healthy and you remain healthy, that's awesome. So go for a few walks with your family. And when you see people, just hi and walk away, you know, social distancing, leave the 6 feet of space. But you can even go for walks with people. One preacher I know, I think it's a preacher, it's a friend on Facebook who's this Christian dude, and he set up a kick coronavirus to the curb or something, and they went on a 5K run, but they had six feet between them the whole time. And I thought, that's awesome. You know what another guy did? He went and stood on a street corner holding up a sign, share your toilet paper. And so people started handing toilet paper to him from their cars, and then he redistributed it because people would drive up and say, I don't have toilet paper. Wouldn't that be awesome? If you love people, don't you want to share? So here's the other side of this. If in 30 days you lived like life is beautiful, don't live in fear. Don't be worried. Don't be anxious, because here's the truth. Whatever happens, eventually you're going to die. If it's sooner, praise the Lord, you get to be with Jesus now. If it's going to be later, praise the Lord, you get to be with people now. Isn't that awesome? So either way, you win, right? Right? Right, amen, all right. So live without fear. Respect what needs to be respected. Honor the proper things and situations and people, but live with excitement. So in your extra 30-day challenge of whatever it might be, consider this. What would it be if you went for a walk and prayed for your neighbors that you walked around the block with? What if you prayed with them and for them? What if you invited people over for a meal and everybody did the proper sanitation thing and you sat a little bit further apart and you fed your neighbors because you haven't even had them to your house ever? What would that be like? What would it be like if you got to know people? What would it be like if you took 30 days and every day you honored somebody in your family, in your workplace, on Facebook? Somehow you sent them something, you wrote them something, you created something for 30 days. You lived like life was really beautiful, and that this wasn't a horrible occasion for fear and worry and anxiety, but no, a chance to show God's love to everyone around you. Wouldn't that be awesome? Wouldn't that be enjoyable? Wouldn't you get excited about that? Oh, I get excited about that. So for me, a part of this is working with my kids to come up with creative things. There's another guy I know named Chris Field, who's rather well known on Facebook because he writes up Bluebell reviews, and they're phenomenal, and they go everywhere, viral, incredibly. But he sent 20 pizzas over to his local grocery store because he wanted to disrupt for good. He wanted to do something that was just kind and generous, knowing that the grocery store workers right now are flooded and swamped. He said, hey, I'm going to give them lunch and dinner, and I'm going to bless them. What could you do like that, where you could support a local business and at the same time bless others? Think of creative things you could do to disrupt for good and to go outside of, you know, I'm doing my duty, I'm paying my taxes, and, you know, the government's got to fix it. No. You can fix it too. You can be a blessing. You can change the culture around you by inviting people in and loving them well. And if they won't come in, go sit outside and have a picnic with them. They can sit across the way, and you can sit here, and you can still share and get to know each other. It's an awesome idea, right? You like it, right? Right? You're going to do it, right? 30 days, you're going to do it. All right, now, last challenge is love God and neighbor. Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. Mark 12, 29 through 31. The verses are longer, but that's the general idea. And I like it because it says, this sums up the whole law and the prophets. Everything the Old Testament had to teach you was this: love God and love your neighbor. Now, an equivalent to that, and I mean equivalent, is treat others as you want to be treated. Because it also says, this sums up the law and the prophets. Treat everybody the way you want to be treated. Treat God. Treat your fellow human, your husband, your wife, your children, your dad, your mom, your grandparents, the way you'd want to be treated. So if you take life from their perspective and you see somebody who's immune compromised, you say, hold on, I don't need to get up in their face. I don't need to go visit them. I need to give them space. Because if I step into their world, I could get them sick and hurt them. I don't want to hurt them. So what can I do that they might like that I can say, hey, I care about you? You could call them. You could FaceTime them. You could Skype them. You could Zoom them. You could do something to reach out and to bless them. You know, there's many nursing homes where you're not allowed to visit anymore. Until this thing blows over, nobody except for medical professionals are allowed in. But many of those nursing homes have set up Facebook and Skype for their family and friends. So who do you know that you might be able to connect with that needs you at this moment because they're lonely and they're not seeing their families? How could you bless those people? Think about the people around you. Don't think about yourself, woe is me. Think about others and say, how can I serve them? How can I help them? How can I bless them? How can I encourage them today? By encouraging them, you will be encouraged. By blessing them, you will be blessed. By being generous, you will receive that back to you. That's the wisdom of Proverbs and Solomon in that book called Ecclesiastes. Read them. They're good. That's another great 30-day challenge. Read a chapter a day of the Proverbs. It's awesome. So, okay, we're at the end. We're all done. Almost. We're going to have a song after this, and there'll be an invitation. If you'd like to come forward, that would be interesting, Facebook friends. You can try to come forward digitally. And Donna is there monitoring that. She will receive your prayer request or whatever else. Also, after we say a prayer, I'll put this up. And you can also call me, text me. I'm more than happy to be connected with you however I can during these 30 days and to encourage and to bless one another. But as is our little tradition here, we'll say this prayer, and then I'll continue to pray, and then we'll offer that invitation. Let's pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive those indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Father, as we continue to pray, we ask that you would challenge us to pay up, to recognize that our life is not our own, but yours. To recognize that we are made in your image and are supposed to be more and more like you, more generous, more loving, more kind, more like Jesus. God, at the same, help us to take on a 30-day challenge for ourselves to be healthier physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, in every way. Help us to be a more generous and kind, loving people, because we do want others to treat us well. So God, help us to treat them well. Help us to remember that we are called to love like nobody else. So God, give us a blessing of your Holy Spirit again. Wash us anew in what it means to be like you and like Jesus. Father, you are the greatest gift we could ever have. There is nothing better than you. Help us to worship and adore you all of our days and to long for the day when you return through Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen. So if you need the prayers of the church, if there's any way that we can help, if there's something we can do, you can text me, you can send me a Facebook connect, or you can come forward. We'll pray for you. We'll bless you however we can. A part of all this is this too. If you need communion, text one of us, call us, let us know. We'd be happy to deliver it. We got most of the people who couldn't get out, but we're going to find a way to make sure that all of our members at least get communion. And if there's others in our community that are like, hey, I'm a Christian and I didn't get communion, we'll try to help you too. We are not opposed to helping others. And another side of this is, if you're stuck in your house at some point and you can't get out and get groceries, or you're out of toilet paper because everybody else bought it all, tell us. We have some. We will share. We are happy to share toilet paper, sanitary products, whatever they might be. We don't want anybody suffering unnecessarily when we have been blessed so much. So make sure that you let us know how we can help you. We've got a song, and if you need the prayers of the church or if there's anything we can do to bless you, won't you let us know?